That scripture I'm going to teach you now. Matthew 8. Now, when it comes to you praying for someone that is sick, before we read Matthew 8, let's go to the book of Mark 11. Start from 22. I'm going to demonstrate. Can I borrow you? Let me borrow you. Now, there's something you must come to an understanding of, which is highly important. Mark 11, 23. Start from 22. Now, when someone is sick, for example, God forbid you are not sick, you're not going to be sick. God forbid that. We're only saying this for the purpose of edification of the body of Christ, so that people learn. So let's assume that James, your name is not James, so that's why I'm using James. You are not James, so you cannot be sick. Now let's assume that James is having headache. I'm sorry, I have to use headache. Let's assume James is having maybe a particular sickness. I'm going to teach you practically how this healing works. If you practice it, you get the same results. Jesus Christ said, whatever I see my Father do, I do. The Bible says in the book of Mark 11, verse 22. Read 22. 23 is where the point is, but read 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. He said, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into a sea. And it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen. Are you seeing the condition? Jesus Christ said that you can say to a mountain. Now, the mountain can be the challenges in this person's life. The same faith you use in healing is the same faith you use in commanding things into people's life. Does it make sense? It's simple. You just, see, if I had the simple, just all the simple. The same faith you're using, see, the mountain here can be the sickness. The mountain here can be failure in life. The mountain here can be difficulties in marriage. The mountain here can be fruitfulness. The mountain here can be whatever it wants to be. But the Bible said that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted and thrown into the sea, and the mountain will lift itself. You won't carry the mountain. The mountain will lift itself because the mountain has life. Everything that exists in this world has life in it. That bag has life. Should we prove that the bag has life? A bag has life. Should we prove it? What are the contents that makes up a bag? Jesus. What are the contents that makes up a bag? Nobody knows. Leather, of course. There are different kinds of bags. We have leather. We have cotton. Now, where is the cotton gotten from? Where is cotton? The leather can be gotten from an animal's skin. Is that correct? That animal, doesn't the animal has life? Who created the animal? So that thing, whatever you have, and that skin could grow because the animal was once small and grew. Is that correct? So whatever thing that you touch has life in it. This book has life in it because the book was made through a wood and that wood has life in it. So if God takes his breath, everything that has life in it takes its breath. If you want to know whether this book breathes, take a paper, put it in a place where there is no air. The next time you come, that paper will be dust. It returns back to the wood where it came from. So even the paper can breathe, still breathes. All right. Put on that agua. Ah, gala. Oh, God. Oh, meyuna kasika. Back to what I was saying before they were interrupted. Now, what we are saying is that you can speak to a mountain. You can speak to that sickness. You can speak to that disease. So if I come to this young man and I don't know what is wrong with this young man, the Bible said that I must really believe that it is possible and without a doubt. And only then will that thing happen. Is that correct? According to the book of Mark 11, 23, that I must believe without a doubt. Now, what happened is this. This young man is sick. He's having maybe malaria or he's having headache. And he comes to me. The moment this young man comes to meet me, one thing has been activated, faith. The The third example here is to show faith. Is that correct? So the first thing is that he acknowledged that he needed healing. That's the number one thing in your book. He acknowledged that he needed healing. Then the number two was that you must find who can heal you. So he had understood that there is somebody that can heal him. That me can heal him. That God can use me to heal him. So he came before me. That thing alone is the act of showing of faith. I must believe that God can use me to heal him. How do I know that God can use me to heal him? According to the book of Matthew 10 verse 1. Luke 9 verse 1, Matthew 10 verse 8, Mark 16 verse 17 to 18. There are so many scriptures that can prove that I can heal this person. And according to what we just read now, Mark 11, 23 to 24. So the moment I see this young man, I said, what is wrong with you? He said, I'm having malaria. The moment he gives that spirit a name, the moment he says, I'm having malaria, I know it's the demon spirit. Because number one, sickness is not meant to be in his body. Because he's a Christian. Our body is the temple of the Lord. He's a Christian. So sickness is not meant to be in his body. So the first thing I would do is this. The name of the demon that is operating in his body is what? Malaria. The first thing to do is that God has given you power to bind demons. Is that correct? To cast out demons. The first thing I would do is that you foul spirit of malaria, in the name of Jesus, come out. That's the number one thing I would do. And immediately the demon freezes. Then when I say come out, the demon walks out. Hello. If I stop from there, I have not delivered this young man. Or if I say I bind you spirit of malaria, that spirit will be bound, but will be in him. So if I say go, it is gone. You say, nah, I'm not feeling the symptom. If he goes back, the sickness will, the demon, after a while, he will lose himself and continue what he's doing. But when I say, I bind you foul spirit of malaria, in the name of Jesus, come out. The demon will be bound. And when I say come out, it will come out. Then I will say, I cast you. Always send them to a place. I cast you to the desert. The demon leaves the premises so that he doesn't enter into any other person and goes that far. Then you say, in the name of Jesus, I declare you healed in Jesus' name. The healing has taken place. Now, he might be feeling small sickness. That is not sickness. That is his mind. When something occupies the place for a time, if that thing leaves, you might still think that thing is still occupying that place. Does it make sense? If I enter your house now and I leave your house, if I'm someone that I use a particular cologne, for example, and I enter, that's fragrance, and I enter your house with my perfume, if I enter, you perceive that my cologne. Is that correct? You perceive it. Then when I leave, for a while, my cologne will be there. Until after some time, then it vanishes. So that thing that this person is still feeling like a sign of sickness is the cologne of that demon. I don't know how to teach it again. I don't know. You don't understand this one? Just kukuma, just pray to God to take your life and go to heaven. So that thing that you're seeing there is the cologne. So that thing you are seeing like a symptom, a man of God is still paining me, heaven here. The demon is gone already. And if I begin to go and repeat my prayer, you come out, you demon, come out. The demon will know that I am in ignorance. The demon will come back and stay because I prayed without faith. So the moment I say it is gone, it is gone. Man of God, I'm not feeling fine. It's gone. Just go. Go and rest. It's gone. Call me on the phone again. Man of God is still doing me. It is gone. I'm not repeating my prayer. It is gone. And eventually, when the cologne finishes, when the that fragrance that it carries finishes, he gets healed completely. Does it make sense? You can heal all sickness. Then if this man comes and say, I don't know what is wrong with me. He said, I don't know. I don't know what is wrong with me. Have you gone to see a doctor? Man of God, I can't go and see a doctor. I'm tired and my body's weak. I said, how is it doing you? He said, anything looks like it's crawling in my belly and it's touching my leg. What I have to do is, Father, that you foul spirit that is crawling in his belly and touching the leg, I'm identifying the demon by the actions of the demon in his life. If I was holding a class now and say you pay me 10 million to learn this thing, now most of you will pay. Now they're giving it free. Most of you will pay. Why won't you pay? Come now and say, yeah, if I will teach you how to heal the sickness, every kind of sickness, I will teach you, you can make money now. All you need to do, if you have 1 millionaire, come out. People will come out. And when I teach them finish, they will go. and they start healing something that was supposed to be free. Does it make sense? That demon that is crawling on the belly and touching the leg, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. The demon is bound. Come out. The demon comes out. Send him to the desert. Then declare healing and cover him with the blood of Jesus. Sometimes it is important you tell the demon never to return to this body. But there is something this young man can do that can bring that demon back. If he goes back and starts sinning, that's why the Bible says, go and sin no more or something worse will come upon you. If he goes back and says, I'm healed, HIV, no day again. Oh boy. Go test whether you don't really come out. Then he now goes to a club and meet another woman. Oh my God. The Bible said that the demon that will come with seven other stronger spirits than itself. And his situation, his condition, that means when the sickness comes back, he will be afraid of coming back to meet me as a pastor to pray for him. That thing that makes him to feel somehow, how will I go and tell this man of God, after he prayed for me, I got healed and now I'm sick again. That thing that made you to find it hard to go and meet the man of God is a demon spirit. It's a new kind of spirit that come upon you. Remember, a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. A Christian can be demonized. You understand? And this young man is still in the same place, situation. So if he pray, if he took 1 hour prayer to heal him, it would take maybe 7 more hours or so. Or a higher anointing. If he truly repents and believes that he will not go back to his sinful ways, that spirit can leave him instantly again. The same pattern. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Most of you, if you were live with me, was it yesterday? I prayed for someone through the phone. I grew someone's hand through the phone. Don't worry about it. One day you will start doing it. Does it make sense? So that is how this healing works. Now, let's see something. I taught you 4 ways. Number one is that you must acknowledge that you need healing. And you must acknowledge that you can heal. Then number two is that you must find someone who can heal. And you must know that you can heal the person. Then the third thing is what? You must show faith. Then the last thing is that you are healed. You must believe that you are healed without the doubt. Whether they like it or not, you are completely healed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, Matthew 8, please read from verse 1. Let's just take one sample here. That is the last scripture I'm reading. I will pray.
Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down to
the mountain. And the large crowd followed Jesus. Okay, keep reading.
Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached.
The Bible said a man with leprosy. This is what this man did. This man knows that he had leprosy because the sickness was identified. Then what did this man do?
And knelt before him.
He acknowledged, he knew who can heal him. Is that correct? He knew that Jesus can heal him. And he went before Jesus and knelt before Jesus, knowing that he surrendered and I know you can heal me. Then see what happened.
Lord, the man said.
He identified Jesus as a Lord, which means he knows that Jesus Christ has the power to heal him. Uh-huh.
If you are willing.
He said, if you are healing, knowing that Jesus Christ has the power and the authority, like we read in the Psalm, the books, the book of Matthew 10:1 and Luke 9:1. Uh-huh.
You can heal and make me clean.
You can heal and make me clean. Now, does Jesus want to heal?
Jesus reached out and touched him.
And Jesus Christ reached out and touched me. According to Mark 16, 17 to 18, lay hands on them.
I am willing, he said.
He said, I am willing.
Be healed.
And what happened?
And instantly the leprosy
And
disappeared.
Instantly leprosy left the man. Are you seeing the 4 principles I gave you? That 4 principle is what is in every single healing you see in the Bible. That 4 principle is present. There's no healing that is absent. Your hand can heal the sick. Your hands. You can touch somebody like this and the sickness is gone without knowing what is wrong with that person.